All right, welcome back to Monsters of the Midday. Kyle Porter joins us, and he was a part of that interview, Pistols Firing Blog, along with Carson Cunningham. We booked you to talk golf, but, man, congratulations on that very insightful interview with Mike Holder.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm listening to the Morning Animals this morning, and they talked about it quite a bit, and then they said, well, we're going to have Kyle Porter, who did the interview, and I'm thinking, we got Kyle Porter at 1 o'clock today, man. What's going on here? This guy's just killing it on the Sports Animal today, but... were you surprised? I mean, listen, I think what he said is true, Kyle. I'm just surprised that he said it on a podcast. I just, with the strained relationship that we've seen over the years with those two, seems like I got no problem with a boss challenging their employees and no problem with a guy that's won 8 national championships challenging Mike Gundy. It just seemed like the forum was a bit odd for me. Were you surprised whenever he was saying that during the interview?
Well, when we were talking to him, when he said it, did I raise an eyebrow? Yeah. I mean, because it's not necessarily something I think the question that we asked wasn't even necessarily about that. So it was sort of just within the flow of conversation. But I think it sort of fits in with what you would expect from Mike Holder. He's a very honest, I think, pretty authentic person whenever you're speaking with him. And you know, it's been interesting to hear kind of the backlash and just kind of the consternation over recruiting and Mike Gundy. I don't know that Mike Holder said anything that Mike Gundy would even really disagree with. I think that Oklahoma State has a really good football program, but they're also very average at recruiting. Like those are two very true things. Now, I think where they might differ is what are your goals? I always go back to what your goals are. I think for Mike Holder, coming from the golf program, it's winning national championships. Is that realistic at Oklahoma State in football? I don't know, but I think that's what he's dreaming about. And for Mike Gundy, I think he cares about winning national championships. I think that I don't know if that's his ultimate goal. You know, I think that he wants to win Big 12 titles and he just enjoys having this job and running a really good program. So I think where they differ even a little bit is maybe on, you know, how heavily they pursue each of those ultimate goals.
I think it's a really good description of it. And I think if Mike Gundy was asked that question and answered it, I think he'd say that he agreed with Mike Holder. I really do. I think that's exactly what he would say is, yeah, we got to do better in recruiting. We've got to do better. So anything else you want on that, Dusty?
No.
All right, let's go. Craig Humphreys called Tiger Woods Lord of the Poana today. Is that going to be the difference this week in Tiger winning his first major since 2008?
The hump man just looking for anything to get Tiger into the winner's circle. Here's the thing with Tiger. I think we sort of underrate how difficult it is to get back into winning. He hasn't won in 5 years. That's a long time. And to expect him to come into this U.S. Open at this venue, which should produce an all-time champion in this deep of a field. It's a big ask. I mean, it's a big ask for everything to come together. I will say I have more confidence in somebody like him who's swinging it really well, but maybe not hasn't putted that great in the last few tournaments than in somebody who's putting well, but maybe not swinging it great. I think your swing is more, it's the thing you want going for you going into a U.S. Open, and he's been awesome the last 6 rounds. Now, can he put it all together in his early 40s at a U.S. Open venue that's going to be really tough? I don't know. Remains to be seen. But I do think he can and probably will contend to win this weekend.
Dustin Johnson seems to be a lot of people's pick. He's my pick. Are we falling in love too much with what we saw a week ago and the fact that nobody has ever won a tournament and then won a U.S. Open the following week? Should that keep me away from liking Dustin Johnson this week?
I don't think so. I think Dustin Johnson might be underrated, to answer your question. He's unbelievable. I mean, to win 18 times in this era, I think, it's my belief, and this might be prisoner of the moment, but it's my belief that golf has never been better at the PGA Tour level. I think you're seeing sort of the kind of the after effects of Tiger entering golf and bringing so much more money and recognition into the sport at the highest level. And 20 years later, you know, 20 years or 21 years after 1997, you're seeing the Justin Thomases and the, Rory McIlroy's, those guys who were kids when Tiger was coming up. Now it's just so competitive at the highest level, and for DJ to have won 18 times, to have won a U.S. Open at Oakmont, I mean, whoever wins this week is going to have a great all-around game, and nobody is better at that right now than DJ. He's number one on the tour in strokes gained tee to green, number one off the tee, number one in scoring average, and he's the number one player in the world, and he's a top 20 putter, which I think people kind of overlook sometimes. So I think just in the same way that I believe the Masters runs through Jordan Spieth, I think the U.S. Open right now and for the foreseeable future runs through Dustin Johnson.
Kyle Porter's our guest. You can read his golf coverage on CBSSports.com. Also, Pistols Firing blog, Oklahoma State, the founder of that. What about Phil, Kyle? His form isn't too bad. He's coming in okay. You would figure that, his short game should be effective at this course.
Yeah, I think so. It's a course that it's been, obviously people probably know the fairways have been widened since the last U.S. Open that was there in 2004 when Phil finished runner-up. Whenever fairways are widened, that's a good thing for Phil because he's not super accurate off the tee, but he is one of the most creative players in the game. I think my thing with Phil, I think he's got like two or three real shots left at a U.S. Open. I think he can contend at Augusta until he's, I don't know, 55. But you've got Shinnecock this year, you've got Pebble Beach next year, and then you got Wingfoot the following year. I think that's it for Phil. Like two or three more, and then I don't think he's going to really be able to win a U.S. Open. And he sort of admitted that. And I think he knows. I think the difficult part for him, and he talked about this, is how do I mentally stay focused on Thursday when I know that this is one of my last like 12 rounds to have a real shot at winning the career slam. I think that's so hard, and it'll be interesting to see if he can stay focused on Thursday and Friday before getting to the weekend.
Kyle, I also like Ricky Fowler this week. I mean, how good of an opportunity does Ricky have of finally breaking through and winning that first major?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. You know, his game statistically isn't as sharp as it's been in the past few years, but I think we saw at Augusta. I mean, that was his first real, real chance to win a major. The other ones where he's finished top five, I mean, he lost by like eight to Martin Keimer in 2014 at Pinehurst at the U.S. Open. You're not in the mix. Like, you're just, you know, you're still in a number by your name there. But I think for Ricky, the issue for him last year, he's very patient. He's very disciplined, sometimes too patient and disciplined. And so when the winning number last year is 16 under by Brooks Koepka, it's almost like he stays so patient that he just gets lapped by people. But at a place like Shinnecock, when you're going to see the score at more like 4, 5, 6 under probably as a winner, maybe even less than that, maybe 3 under. I think his patience is going to be rewarded. And I think if you see any weather at all, any wind, anything like that, I think it definitely plays to his advantage as well. So he could definitely factor in this weekend.
How about Brooks Koepka? He's had a lot of success in the majors, and he's really not on everyone's radar, or not on, seems to be my radar. I don't hear his name brought up a lot. Can he win this week?
Yeah, he can. It's hard to go back-to-back at a U.S. Open. You know, it hasn't been done in 30 years. Curtis Strange did it in, I believe it was 1988, 1989. But to your point, I mean, Koepka, I don't think he's finished worse than 21st in, like, the last 10 majors. I mean, he's been really, really, like, in the mix and, you know, on the top 10 of leaderboards. Obviously, he won kind of going away last year. He was injured for the most of the first part of this year. He sat out a couple of months, but since he's been back, he shot 363s in a span of about 4 rounds from the Players' Championship to the Fort Worth Invitational at Colonial. So he's been lights out since he's been back. And if he, you know, I get a little concerned with him in terms of accuracy off the tee. I think it's also to his benefit that the fairways here have been widened. So yeah, he could definitely factor in and become, I guess, the first player in 30 years to go back to back.
What about Justin Thomas? Might have been, and I was reading your piece you put out, and I was thinking the exact same thing. Might have been the quietest number one I can remember. Now, it was short-lived as DJ took over. But
you're calling him short?
Well, he's not a very big guy. I just, no one ever talks about Justin Thomas, and the dude is an unbelievably good golfer. I feel like he never gets, he never really gets the credit that probably he deserves.
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the reason I think people don't talk about him. He doesn't do anything. I mean, there's no one part of his game that really sticks out. Like, when you talk about DJ, you talk about the driver. When you talk about Phil, you talk about the short game. I mean, all the things that we've been talking about. And when you talk about JT, you're like, well, I mean, he hits it far, I guess, for a little guy, but he's, you know, I don't know. Like, and that's sort of the point, is that his all-around game is so good, but he's not like number one at anything. He's just number 15 at everything, which is exactly what you want at a place like Shinnecock that tests every part of your game. I think that's the fun thing about the widening of these fairways. They've got bigger greens this year than they had in 2004, and they also removed the rough from around them. And so you're gonna see guys that are great second shot guys into greens. You're gonna see great scramblers, guys that have to get up and down from 30 or 35 yards, and then guys that can save par from 8 feet or 9 feet or 10 feet. And that's Justin Thomas. And I think that it's going to be really interesting, because I think this course sets up really well for both him and Dustin Johnson. It would be pretty cool if we got a number one versus number two on the week.
Kyle, are you hearing from all these pros that they love this course as much as anyone in the country? Is this about the favorite destination for a U.S. Open?
I think it's the most unified destination. I think when you go to a place like Chambers Bay 3 years ago, you go to Erin Hills last year, those are new places. Some guys love them, and some guys just hate them. And I think this is a place where the most guys like it the most. And you see some shorter hitters, guys that aren't 310 plus off the tee, say, I feel like I have a chance. I feel like I can win this tournament because of the way it's set up. And that's a great tournament where your length can come in handy, but you don't have to have it to win the U.S. Open. And I think that's why we're going to get a really interesting and great leaderboard on the weekend.
What have they done? Obviously, the greens were a debacle last time they were there in 04, and they burn up. I was watching SVP last night, and they were showing when they were pouring water on it, how it would just roll down. They were so dried out, they wouldn't absorb the water. What have they done to prevent that from potentially happening this week?
That was really bad. Well, they changed the grasses on the course. They went from a rye grass to a fescue, which is, it doesn't need as much water, which is a good thing. But you know, I think also they are very receptive. The USGA was to criticism that they got last time, and they deserved it. And they said we deserved all of this criticism. And you know, they talked about these devices that measure how firm the greens are and stuff. We didn't have that technology last time. It's like, well, you probably should have seen that water was just rolling off the greens. Like, I don't know what devices you needed to tell you that this is a bad idea, but I think honestly, they can't have that happen again, especially after two of the last 3 years, they've received a lot of criticism from a lot of different people. They can't have another debacle like they had in 2004. They can't even come close to it, really, and I think they know that. And I think in that sense, 2004 will work to the advantage of 2018, and we'll get a really good championship.
Are you invited to any of these swanky Hampton parties?
Like 20 people have asked me if I'm staying on Tiger's yacht. I'm actually going to confirm that I am not staying there. No, I'm excited to be up there and to follow the tournament. First time I've been up there to a course in New York, so it should be a lot of fun.
That's a yes. He's definitely invited to some swanky parties. He just didn't want to gloat.
Somebody needs to TP that house where Kevin Durant went when he decided to go to the Warriors. That's what we need to do. That's ridiculous. Well, you're out there in the Hamptons. So, absolutely. Well, have a good time, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and dropping some knowledge on us here for the U.S. Open.
Hey, and Kyle, also, thank you so much for giving us a couple of days' worth of talking points with the Mike Holder stuff, because whether you think that he shouldn't have said it or you're fine that he did say it, we've been talking about it. It is summertime, and the NBA's over, so we're looking for anything. So big thank you to you, man. You provided
Absolutely.
Some great material.
I'm here for the summer content.
Better get that membership at Pistols Firing Blog. That's good stuff. Thanks, Kyle. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.